turn to the book of 1 John, chapter 1. We'd like to read verse 4. 1 John 1 and verse 4. So far we've seen that the Christian life should be a life of relationship with the Lord. We see that in verse 1 and verse 2. And in addition to that, it should be a life of fellowship with the Lord, fellowship with the saints of God. Then in verse 4, he says, "In these things," I believe referring to the whole book, "write we unto you that your joy may be full." So the life that the saved individual is privileged to live, the life that the saved individual has the opportunity to live, is a life of joy. Not just joy, but we read here fullness of joy. Now, joy is delight, begins within. Rejoicing is the outward display of an inward joy. So what he's talking about here is an inward joy. And this inward joy is an inward delight, something we delight in, something that we find pleasure in. It's happiness, it's gladness, it's enjoyment. And we read here that it's full. It's not just a little bit. This is a joy that is full. We turn to John chapter 16. We see Jesus speaking upon the subject of fullness of joy. In John 16, verse 24. John 16, verse 24. "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." So this fullness of joy is connected with receiving from the Lord. "Ask that you may receive, that your joy be full." So it's about receiving from God. If we receive from God, we're going to have this joy. And it's a fullness of joy. We see again fullness of joy here in verse 4 of 1 John 1. But then notice in the book of 2 John, book of 2 John, verse 12, "Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink. But I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full." That our joy may be full. So this joy that we read of so often in the Word of God is more than a feeling. It's something that goes beyond just a feeling. It's more than a burst of emotion. I believe it's a state. It's a condition that we can be in. We can live in a state of joy, fullness of joy. We can be in a condition of joy. So again, this is more than just a burst of emotion. This is a life. And as you follow joy through the Word of God, particularly in the New Testament, we see that it is inward, and it is a way of life for the child of God. Just like a relationship with God should be a way of life, fellowship with God should be a way of life. And no doubt, joy is very much dependent upon a relationship with God and a continual fellowship with God. This joy is an inward satisfaction. It's an inward satisfaction. When you're happy, you're satisfied. This joy is an inward satisfaction, but it's a fullness of joy. So it is to be completely satisfied. Completely satisfied. Now, this is a joy that the world knows nothing about. The joy that the Bible's talking about, the world is a stranger to. It is a joy that is far, far different than the joy of a mere man. The joy of just being happy every now and then because something happened that you enjoy. So you have a happiness for a few moments. This is a joy that goes beyond the mere joy of man. Now again, this joy must have a foundation. And the foundation is a personal relationship with Christ. It is fellowship with Christ. And this fullness of joy can only be found in the Lord. And every child of God can experience it. And every child of God can possess it. Our life ought to be characterized by this fullness of joy. So we want today to look at the nature of this joy. Again, we want to consider, first of all, the foundation of the joy. If you ask most people what they think joy is, most people think, again, that joy is a feeling, an emotion, has the result of favorable circumstances, as a result of something happening that we like, something that we wished for. And to them, that is joy. And that is the joy of man. As long as things are going their way, the way they would like it to go, they can be happy. But as soon as circumstances change, so does their joy. Or joy is an emotion, or a feeling. It's just something I feel. Well, you can feel joy one minute and a few minutes later feel depression. And it's more than an emotion. It's more than a feeling. And the joy that the Bible talks about is not dependent. It is not dependent upon circumstances. It's not dependent upon favorable circumstances. In fact, the Bible teaches that there is a happiness, there is a delight, there is a gladness, there is a pleasure, there is an elation, an inward satisfaction that can be possessed and experienced in the very midst of adverse circumstances. Amen. This joy the world knows nothing about. You talk about this kind of joy to lost people and they have no idea what you're talking about. They do not believe it's possible. But this is a joy that can be possessed and experienced in the very worst of circumstances. It doesn't mean that you're free of sadness. You can be sad in certain circumstances. You can feel gloom. But at the same time, there is a joy that is possessed and experienced by the child of God. Again, the world knows nothing about this, and sad to say, many of God's people know very little about it. But this is a joy that can be experienced in the very midst of the worst of calamities. Notice in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, we'll read verse 17, which speaks of some adverse circumstances. And then we'll read verse 18. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. That's a severe famine. That is an adverse circumstance. He goes on in verse 18, yet, that is, in spite of all these things of a famine, I will rejoice in the Lord. He does not say, I will rejoice because there's a famine. That's not what he says. You're going to have a very difficult time trying to work up joy because you're in the midst of a famine. He says, but in the midst of the famine, there is something that I can rejoice in. I will rejoice in the Lord. That's the foundation of this joy. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So it is a joy that can be possessed. It is a joy that can be experienced in the midst of calamities. And a famine is a calamity. It is also a joy that can be experienced and possessed in the midst of persecution. Notice in the book of Acts, chapter 5. The book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 41, we read concerning Peter and John. They have been beaten. They have been threatened. And in verse 41 of Acts 5, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They rejoiced because they were conformed to the image of Christ, that they could share in the sufferings of Christ. We see this is a joy that can be had in the midst of imprisonment. Acts chapter 16, verse 23 and 25, we see Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. And we see that they sang praises unto God. Would they have rather not been in jail? Of course. They would have rather been at home. They would have rather had their freedom. But being in prison, did that just take away all their joy, take away all their happiness? No. They had another source of joy. And this, all joy must have a source. The joy of man, its source again is in favorable circumstances. Circumstances become unfavorable, there goes their joy. Their source is dried up. But if our source is in the Lord doesn't change. And even in the midst of adverse circumstances, though we're sorrowful about the circumstances, though we may be grieved over the circumstances, if we can refocus our attention to the Lord, we'll find joy. We'll find joy in the midst of adversity. We see in the book of Romans, chapter 5, the book of Romans, chapter 5, in verse 3, he said in verse 2 that we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And then in verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. We glory, we rejoice in tribulations also. So again, this joy that the Lord is talking about, this joy that we can possess, this joy that we can experience is not dependent upon circumstances. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. Paul says, "His sorrowful, yet always rejoicing." Now that the world does not understand. How can you be sorrowful and yet at the same time have a source of joy? How can your heart be breaking and yet at the very same time have joy? Because the source is the Lord. The source is the things of God. As sorrowful, things happen all the time that are going to bring sorrow into our lives. Things happen all the time that's going to cause us to grieve and to mourn. But in the midst of all of that, we still have a source that we can rejoice in. We still have something that we can rejoice in. Now, you cannot, the lost person, that's not so. They don't have the Lord as a source of joy. So it can become completely dark for the lost person. But that's not so for the saved person. Because even in sorrow, yet always, and again notice, yet always rejoicing. Also, there's rejoicing in time of loss. Notice in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews 10, verse 34. For he had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. The reason they could do this is because of what they knew, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. But here they took joyfully the spoiling of the goods. They found rejoicing. They found something to rejoice in. Even when their material wealth, their material possessions was taken away, there was still something that they could rejoice in. We can rejoice in the midst of trials. Notice in the book of James, chapter 1. The book of James, chapter 1, in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. And then notice in 1 Peter, chapter 4, verses 12 and verse 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to trial you, as though some try you, which as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. So we see that we can rejoice even in the midst of trials. So this is a joy that is independent of changes. Our lives can drastically change in a matter of seconds. We all know that. And they can change in a way that is not going to produce joy. But we still have a source of joy. And I know there are some people who say we should rejoice in all circumstances, and you cannot be happy about certain things. I mean, you can't be happy about it. If you get terrible news today, you're not going to be happy about the news you received. But there is a source where you can draw joy from. And that, of course, is the Lord. And the Lord instructed the 70. You remember he sent the 70 forth, and they came back rejoicing, and he gave them a short lesson in joy. Notice in the book of Luke, chapter 10. Book of Luke, chapter 10. We'll read verses 17 through verse 20. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, and again, there's nothing wrong that they had joy here. He said, Lord, even the devils, even the demons, are subject unto us through thy name. And they were rejoicing in this, that the demons were subject unto them. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power, authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He's saying, so they're rejoicing that the demons are subject to them. The Lord reminds them, I have given you authority. I've given you authority where you can tread on serpents. I have given you authority over the power of the enemy. And then in verse 20, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. In this rejoice not. The Lord had given them gifts. The Lord had given them favors. And he said, and everything was going well for them. He said, but don't rejoice. Don't make this. Don't make these things the source of your joy. In this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. That should not be your source of joy, because that can change. But rather, in other words, preferably, rather than rejoicing in gifts, rather than rejoicing in talents or abilities or victories, if you rejoice in victory, and when I say that, I mean the victory is your source of joy, then what happens when there's defeat? Well, your joy is gone. Now, we can rejoice in defeat, but victory is not to be our source of joy. And this is what he's teaching in verse 20. He says, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That can't change. That can't change. We are to rejoice in eternal things. We are to rejoice in spiritual things. That is to be our source of joy. And when that is our source of joy, then we can rejoice in any circumstance. So we have to be very careful that we do not make our personal happiness, favorable circumstances, our source of joy. Because you can make your children your source of joy. Well, what happens if your children disappoint you? Well, your joy's dried up. It's gone. You can make individuals your source of joy. What happens when that individual disappoints you? Your joy is gone. Again, these are not to be our sources of joy. You can make your health your source of joy. What happens when your health's gone? Your joy is gone. Again, we can rejoice that we have good health. But that's not our source. That's not to be our source of joy. So joy based upon that which is material, that which is changing, is short-lived at best. It is a short-lived joy at best. So when Jesus said to the 70, rejoice that your names are written in heaven, this is a joy that does not find its source in the outward, but finds its source in things that are the result of faith. I can't see my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, but I have faith that it is. So faith. It's things that we have faith in. So joy must have a source. Joy must have a because. Notice again in Luke 10, verse 20, but rather rejoice because. All joy must have a because. You say, I'm happy today. Well, why? There's got to be a reason. There's got to be a because. Well, I'm happy today because the sun's out and the weather's just like I like it. I'm happy today. So if it's cloudy tomorrow and it's raining, you won't be happy. Every joy must have a because. That's true of man's joy. That's true of the joy that God gives. And if the because is in eternal things, spiritual things, things that cannot change, that's the joy that John is speaking of here in 1 John 1 in verse 4. So this joy that John speaks of here in 1 John 1 and verse 4, and that Jesus speaks of in Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, is a joy that has a different source. And it is a joy that is given by God. You can only get this joy from God. He's the giver of this joy. Notice in Psalm 4, the fourth psalm, the seventh verse, he says, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increase." More than in a time when the economy is flourishing, thou hast put gladness in my heart. And God can do that even in the very midst of that which is heartbreaking, that which is filled with sorrow. God can put gladness in the heart. Does it make us glad that whatever happened, happened? No, not necessarily. But it does give us a source of joy. This joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 22. We have the fruit of the Spirit mentioned. And joy is one of the fruit of the Spirit. So this is something that is spiritual. This isn't something that you can work up. This isn't something you've been sad for a long time and now you're going to sit down and you're going to determine from this point on I'm going to be happy. Doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. This isn't a joy that you can stir up. This is a joy that's God-given. This is a joy that is the result of the Spirit of God. And it is a joy that is in God. It is a joy that is in God. That is our source. And again, God does not change. So this is a joy that we can always have. You see, some people, and I've had this conversation this last week with an aunt of mine, because things do not go like they want them to go. Well, I don't know if I believe in God. If there is a God, he's cruel. But you see, one who believes the truth about God, that's a source of joy. And no matter what happens, whether we understand it or not, if we have the faith, God is good. Do I like what happened? No. Do I wish it was different? Perhaps yes. But no matter what, God is God. God is good. God is good. God is good if he gives me robust health. God is good if he gives me disease. Same God. God is good. God is good in giving life. God also is good in taking life. That's a matter of faith. But there is a joy in that. In Psalm 89 and verse 16, he says, "In thy name shall they rejoice all the day." Now, the name of God, of course, speaks of his character. It speaks of his attributes. Speaks of his person. And we can rejoice in that all the day. Who knows what a day is going to bring forth? None of us know. But we have a source of joy in God, in the name of God. That's why it is so important to have a relationship with the Lord. That's why it's so important to have fellowship with God, because as a relationship develops and as fellowship develops, that means we know him better. And if God is our source of joy, the better I know him, the more I can rejoice and the more I have to draw joy from. So there is a joy. There is a fullness of joy. And we'll continue next week looking at the nature of this joy, but this is a joy that every child of God can possess. It is a joy that every child of God can experience, no matter what. We can have this joy, and it's not just any joy, it is a fullness of joy. Let's look to the Lord, word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we do thank you, Lord, for the life that you've made possible for us to live as your children. And Lord, we know that we often come far, far short of such a life, and we just pray, Lord, that you would enable us to live the life that you've made possible for us in and through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we do pray, Lord, as we come today to worship you in spirit and truth, that we would do so, and, Lord, that you would receive all the honor, that you would receive all the glory, that you might draw our hearts closer to thee. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.